People lie. People cheat. People don't keep their word. Sometimes we have problems trusting. Trust can be easily broken. Trust is so difficult to have. This morning I want to talk about the problem of trusting. We appreciate so much everyone being here today. Appreciate the good songs that were led, encouraging, uplifting to us. And I hope that the message that we will get across today is that there is someone that we can trust. There is someone that we can have confidence in, who never lets us down, who never lies, always keeps their word. And that certainly is our God. And I hope we can be encouraged to be like Him, to be people of trust. When we search the Word of God, there's a story that is recorded in the book of Mark, chapter 5. And we've looked at this story before, but it is a classic in regards to trusting God. We'll read just a bit of this passage in Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 25. A woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. And after hearing about Jesus, came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she thought, if I just touch his garment, I shall get well. And immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Later, we find that Jesus spoke to her in verse 34, said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." To me, this is one of the great stories, historical events of the Bible that teach us about the power of faith. And this certainly was not faith acting alone, but it was faith working. She had heard about Jesus. She needed so desperately in her hopeless situation. She touched the garment, trusting that she would be healed, and she was. It's a great story. It's one that I think should be encouraging to all of us, to help motivate us to our faith and trust in the Lord. In the book of Proverbs, there is a very powerful passage in Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, "And the wise man said, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." Those are such profound words that each of us, regardless of who we are or where we are, that we will find comforting and encouraging to us to live our daily lives. We live in a world of uncertainty, and certainly tough times will come. All sorts of tragedies can happen. It can be something of a quite general area or a country. But it can be so specific to even you personally in your own family. Tragedy happens. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, a passage we should all be very familiar with, James says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Someone has rightly said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, but shouts in our pain. C.S. Lewis in his book, The Problem of Pain. It's quite interesting that God does speak to us today, not miraculously or by verbal inspiration, personally that is. He does speak to us by verbally inspired words of God in the Bible. But He does speak to us in regards to the things that happen in our lives. Have we not all experienced something that has happened in our lives that we prayed about, that we've talked to God about? And providentially, God has helped us. He has cared for us. And maybe we didn't even realize it until after some time that event had happened. And we look back, and with 20/20 vision now, we look back and say, surely God was there. And so it builds this trust, this confidence that God hears us, He loves us, He provides what's best for us. And certainly, God has done that so many times for us. When we stop to consider the tragedies of life, there can be so many things that happen. Things that you didn't plan on. Things you don't have insurance for. Things you don't have a savings for. Things happen. Things that become so devastating to us. But I would hope and trust today that we would stop and consider that when times do get tough, we need to keep it simple. We need to remember the simple things. We need to remember the powerful things in our lives. And first and primarily, we talk to God. We pray about those things. You remember James? In James chapter 5 and verse 13 says, is there any among you suffering? What did he say do? Let him pray. God knows we are having difficulties. God knows when troubles come to our house. God knows when our minds are so bogged down with or have been attacked by so many outside influences and difficulty. So we must pray to God. We must talk to Him because He does care. He does love us. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. You may come to me and talk to me about your plight, and I might not think it's that big a deal. You may talk to someone else and try to get them to understand what you're going through, but they don't. Sometimes we can be cruel to each other. Sometimes we can be so not sympathetic or empathetic. But we have someone that does hear and does know and does care. And He is the one that we must talk to. But equally, it's not just that we talk to God, but we allow God to talk to us. That we listen to God. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 5, one of the great passages of Scripture that teaches us, he says, let your way of life be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For He Himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. That last part of chapter 13 of Hebrews, verse 5, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. May I ask, do you trust God? Do you believe that He will always be there for you? In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9, Paul says, God is faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There's no temptation overtaking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and in verse 3, the Apostle Paul says, "But the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one." We've been talking about the heart for a number of Lord's days and trying to focus in on, pun intended, the heart of the matter. And the heart of the matter really is our trust in our God. Our God has communicated to us. Have we listened to Him? He has communicated to us that He is for us. He will comfort us. He will be there for us. He will never leave us. Do we trust that? Do we really believe that? Is that what we hold on to? Is that really where we take our comfort? Do we not become sad? Do we not become discouraged? Do we not become depressed? Do we not just have so difficult a time of dealing with our problems and issues because we do not trust God? I'm not saying when you trust God, you don't cry. I'm not saying that when God is there to comfort us, we still don't, or that we don't hurt. We do. You know, trials and difficulties in life hurt. And I must say, it doesn't matter what caused it. Whatever causes pain, pain still hurts. And when you are the victim of that circumstance, you feel it plumb to the bone. It's difficult. God's Word does not suggest that He will take away hurt and pain. But what God does is enable you to deal with it, to get through it, to get on the other side. Therefore, we must wait on the Lord. One of the great passages of Scripture in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. And notice, if you will, with me briefly in verse 31, Isaiah 40, and in verse 31, the Scripture says, "Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." One of the great passages of Scripture that not only do we sing in a song, but have been written on a number of cards that you may have received at some point in time if you've gone through difficulties. And I remember back a few years ago, a number of cards, that being the very thought. And it was encouraging to me. But I want to stress to us, yet those who wait for the Lord or wait on the Lord, wait is another way of saying trust and confidence. When you believe someone is coming, you wait. Because you trust and you have confidence that they are coming. Now God, and we sang this song, comes in His time. He knows when's best. He knows when to take care of our issues and our problems and to deliver the best way for us. I don't know that. You don't know that either. We pray for what we want, but God gives us what's best. I don't know how to pray for what's best, other than to trust in God and ask Him to do what He does. And He does what's best. And thank Him for it and wait on the Lord. Waiting sometimes can be difficult because we want it to happen now. What we want, we don't want it later. We want it now. We are very much in the microwave life. We want to have it now. But that is not biblical. God will do it in His time. may also suggest to us that one of the things that God's Word encourages us when difficulties and problems and issues come up, how we deal with that is extremely important. There are so many that want to just go off into seclusion. They want to hide. They want to not have any calls, no emails, no phone calls, no contact. And I will suggest to you that that is the absolute wrong thing to do. Biblically speaking, we find in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning of verse 3. I read verse 3 a moment ago. We will reread this section. It's a great section. If you don't have it marked in your Bible, you should. Because it is one of those passages that you'll rely on in the future. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the suffering of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our suffering, so also you are sharers of our comfort. Did you get that? That's a difficult passage. But it's profound in its application. May I just briefly say to you, Lowell Sully translation, we go through problems and afflictions and difficulties, and we rely upon one another who's been there and done that to comfort us. And you do. And once we've gone through a problem and an issue and a difficulty, when we see our brother and sister in Christ go through those same kinds of problems, we should be there for them. And we comfort them with the comfort that we have been comforted with. We have so graciously and bountifully received, but it is more blessed to give than to receive. The whole concept of our sharing with one another is significant in this passage. The whole gist of our Sunday evening Bible study about causes the growth of the body is about one another. It's about how we work together. It's how we share our difficulties and problems. It's how we even share our differences. Brother and sister in Christ, if we cannot learn to share our differences, we cannot learn to share our commonalities. We must be able to share with each other through the difficult times in order to share in the good times. Do we not understand that? We must continue to care about each other. You cannot run and hide, but we must help each other because we all struggle. All of us have our difficulties. And in this great passage, spending time with God's people is so important. Not hiding. When we think about the idea of how much we really, really trust the Lord. Right now, our country is going through some very good economical times. Probably your 401k or whatever is showing that. There's been a day that most of you remember not long ago. Things weren't so well. There's probably been days in many of your lives that you couldn't find a job. There are all sorts of things that attack us. And what it attacks is our trust in God. If you lost your job today, if you had no hope of a job tomorrow, would you still love the Lord? Would you still trust Him? Would you put all of your faith in Him? Would you continue to serve Him with the best of your ability? Or would you be like Job's friends? Would you then be critical? Would you become despondent and downhearted and angry and bitter. Things are not always going to go your way. Things are not always going to be just as you want. But we work with each other. We encourage each other. We help each other. And if we can't do that, then who are we? What are we? Our trusting God is first and foremost in our lives. But it manifests itself in our weaknesses. And as we've discussed in our Sunday morning Bible class, you certainly become aware of those who are babes and who are fleshly versus those who are spiritual and mature. It becomes obvious. So in application, do we really trust the Lord enough to be saved? What amount of trust did you put in God to believe when He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved"? Did you trust that? Did you willingly go down into the water because you trusted God to save you? Do we trust Him enough to believe that He really hears our prayers? Does He listen to you? Maybe you're not even praying to Him because you have just decided that He doesn't hear you. Because it's never turned out the way you wanted it. You've prayed to God and He didn't give you what you thought was best. We've all been there and done that. How many times have you prayed for something and it turned out just the opposite? Have any of you experienced something you prayed for and it turned out the opposite, and then years later you found out that that really was the best? And if you've been given what you really asked for, it would not have been the best? What do you call that? Do we not believe in the trust in the confidence of God providing for us? We're children. We're fleshly. We're earthly. How could we possibly know what's best all the time? I'll tell you what we do know is best: to trust in God. That's best. Do we trust enough for Him to cast away all of our anxiety? Anxiety can be so overwhelming. Worry. Our concerns. It can eat us up. We can drown in all of this anxiety and these difficulties. The Apostle Peter, he said such beautiful words in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. He says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you." You get the imagery there of you have this burden, this load that is upon you, and it's heavy and it's just weighing us down, and we just don't know if we can carry it any longer. But we cast all of that burden, that anxiety upon Him. It frees us. God takes care of that. He carries that. He does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Do we not get that? When we continue to try to carry the load ourselves, when we continue to be worrisome and have anxiety, it is stressful, it is hurtful, it is painful, and it does not allow us to accomplish what God wants us to be. Cast off that anxiety because He cares for you. He says, "I'll carry that for you because you can't." Can we learn to trust to be content? I worried a lot when I started losing my hair. My wife, she fussed at me because the shower had hair everywhere. It just one day my hair decided to fall out and to leave. And it bothered me. It worried me. It concerned me. I was only 30-some years old. And then you read things like, well, when that happens, it must be because this and because of that. And usually it was not good. Maybe it was a sign of this and a sign of that. And I tell you, I worried about that for a while. And I thought, well, I'm going to die of something. Guess what? We're all going to die of something. None of us are going to live forever. We are all going to go into eternity. The Lord may come and we not physically die, but this life is going to end. If you trust God, if you believe in God, you will learn to become content with what you've got. I haven't been real happy about the beautiful body that God gave me. I wish that I could have been a little prettier. I wish I had been given a little bit more smarts. I wish I had been a little bit taller. At some point, you've got to say, okay, this is what God give me. Just deal with it and move on. You see, contentment is the opposite of I ain't happy. And some people aren't happy with anything. It don't matter what church, what preacher, what car, what house, what county, what state. Some people are just going to be sour pusses. They're just going to be angry and mad at the world regardless. I'm going to say to you, at the very base of that is a lack of trust and confidence in God, and to thank God for what He has given you and move on. All been there and done that. Have we really trusted the Lord enough to know that He will provide for our needs? What do you need? There's a lot of college courses that you take and they try to define need, but they fall short of really defining what really is the definition of need. I tell you what you need in the Bible's definition is God. That's what you need. And when you have God, you don't need anything else. Have you got to that point of trust yet? Our Lord is God Almighty. Do you trust that? Our Lord God Almighty is still on His throne today. Do you trust that? Then we need not worry. We need not have anxiety. We need to trust the Lord with all of our hearts and stop being babies. We need to grow up. And that is hard and that is painful. But that is my lesson for today. When you see a chart like this, obeying the gospel, your reaction to that chart or any teaching of truth reveals your trust in God or the lack of it. Someone has rightly said that you either trust in God or you don't. You either believe God or you don't. You either obey God or you don't. And I think that is true. This morning, I hope that you will trust the Lord. I hope you will obey the Lord. And I know that each and every one of us are doing our best, trying our best, and we are still, as someone says, a work in progress, and we are trying to be better and to do more and to do better. And I hope that this morning that has been the message that you've received. And if you will trust God with all of your heart, you can be what God wants you to be. The question is, do you trust God? And do you really want to be what God wants you to be? The invitation is extended. God is available. He is the great physician and He can heal all. Won't you come as we stand and sing?
King of green pastures, feeding lions, food, water, fire, sun.